नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, Text 31. Please repeat. Swayam,
Swayam,
Samutirya,
Samutirya,
Sudustaram,
Sudustaram,
Dhyuman,
Dhyuman,
Bhava Arnavam,
Bhava Arnavam,
Bhimam,
Bhimam,
Adabra Sorida,
Adabra Sorida,
Bhavat,
Bhavat,
Pada,
Padam,
Amboruha,
Amboruha,
Navam,
Navam,
Atra,
Atra,
Te,
Te,
Nidaya,
Nidaya,
Yata,
Yata,
Sat Anugraha,
Sat Anugraha,
Bhavan,
Bhavan,
Swayam Samutir Yadudastaram Dhyumam, Bhavarnavam Bhimamadabra Sorada,
Bhavarnavam Bhimamadabra Sorada,
Bhavat Padam Boruhanavam Atrate,
Bhavat Padam Boruhanavam Atrate,
Nidaya yata sadanugraho bhavan.
Nidaya yata sadanugraho bhavan.
Swayam samutir yasudustaram dhyuman.
Swayam samutir yasudustaram dhyuman.
Bhavarnavam bhimamadabra sorida.
Bhavarnavam bhimamadabra sorida.
Bhavat Padam Boruhanavamatrate,
Bhavat Padam Boruhanavamatrate,
Nidaya Yata Sadanugraho Bhavan,
Nidaya Yata Sadanugraho Bhavan,
Swayam Samutirya Sudustaram Dhyuman,
Swayam Samutirya Sudustaram Dhyuman,
Bhavarnavam bhimamadabra sorida,
Bhavarnavam bhimamadabra sorida,
Bhavat padam boruhanavamatrate,
Bhavat padam boruhanavamatrate,
Nidaya yata sadanugraho bhavan,
Nidaya yata sadanugraho bhavan,
Swayam samutirya sudustaram dhyumam,
Swayam samutirya sudustaram dhyumam,
Bhavarnavam bhimamadabra sorida,
Bhavarnavam bhimamadabra sorida,
Bhavat padam boruhanavam atrate,
Bhavat padam boruhanavam atrate,
Nidaya yata sadanugraho bhavan,
Nidaya yata sadanugraho bhavan,
Swayam samutirya sudustaram dhyuman,
Swayam samutirya sudustaram dhyuman,
Bhavarnavam bhimamadabra sorida,
Bhavarnavam bhimamadabra sorida,
Bhavat padam boruhanavam atrate,
Bhavat padam boruhanavam atrate,
Yudhaya Bhavan.
Nidaya Yatha Sadanugraho Bhavan.
Swayam Samuti Yasudhu Saram Yuma.
Swayam Samuti Yasudhu Saram Yuma.
Vandavam Bhima Madhava Prasovida.
Vandavam Bhima Madhava Prasovida.
Vatpadam Bhurvanava Matpate.
Vatpadam Bhurvanava Matpate.
Jaya Yatha Sadanugraho Bhavan.
Jaya Yatha Sadanugraho Bhavan.
Vaishnavis.
Swayam Samuti Yasudhu Saram Yuman. Avarnavam Vimam Adavrasaurida.
Swayam,
Swayam,
personally,
personally,
Samutirya,
Samutirya,
perfectly crossing,
perfectly crossing,
Sudustaram,
Sudustaram,
which is very difficult to cross,
which is very difficult to cross,
Dhyuman,
Dhyuman,
O Lord,
O Lord,
who appear exactly like the sun,
who appear exactly like the sun,
illuminating the darkness,
illuminating the darkness
of this world of ignorance,
of this world of ignorance,
Bhava Arnavam,
Bhava Arnavam,
the ocean of nations,
the ocean of nations,
Bhimam,
Bhimam,
which is extremely fierce,
which is extremely fierce,
Adabrasaurida,
Adabrasaurida,
devotees who are incessantly friendly,
devotees who are incessantly friendly,
to the fallen souls,
to the fallen souls,
Bhavat Pada Ambaruha,
Bhavat Pada Ambaruha,
your lotus feet,
your lotus feet,
Navam,
Navam,
the boat for crossing,
the boat for crossing,
Atra,
Atra,
in this world,
in this world,
they,
the Vaishnavas,
Nidaya,
Nidaya,
leaving behind,
leaving behind,
Yatha,
Yatha,
on to the ultimate destination,
on to the ultimate destination,
Vaikuntha,
Vaikuntha,
Sat Anugraha,
Sat Anugraha,
who are always kind and merciful,
who are always kind and merciful,
to the devotees,
to the devotees,
Bhavan,
Bhavan,
you,
you.
Translation. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vanchakalpatalam. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Please repeat. O Lord,
O Lord,
who resemble the shining sun,
who resemble the shining sun,
You are always ready to fulfill the desire. Of your devotee.
Of your devotees.
And therefore you are known as a desire tree.
And therefore you are known as a desire tree.
Panchakalpa Taru.
Panchakalpa Taru.
When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet.
When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet.
In order to cross the fierce ocean of nations.
In order to cross the fierce ocean of nations.
They leave behind on earth.
They leave behind on earth.
The method by which they cross.
The method by which they cross.
And because you are very merciful.
And because you are very merciful.
To your other devotees.
To your other devotees.
You accept this method to help them.
You accept this method to help them.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19.151. One can achieve the seed of Bhakti Lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means, according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate, by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya, who trains the devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances, so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept the service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities: illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible. One should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The Acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nations by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya Vihinaye Mantraste Nishpala Mataha, Padma Purana. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya. Otherwise, one's endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vasa Janame Janame Hai E Avilasa. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nations will surely be successful. Translation again. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree. Vanchakalpatru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we have gathered here by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to remember them and appreciate what they have given us, so that we can rededicate ourselves to their service. Shishrada Gokulanam Lekhi Gai, Shishwari Chai Ki Gai. This is Sitaram Lakshman. This verse describes how the merciful Acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the aspiring devotees. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has discussed the question of how a living entity receives the seed of devotional service. And he puts forth different possibilities. One is the mercy of Krishna. But then he says, the mercy of Krishna cannot be a proper explanation, because Krishna is the father of all living entities. He must love all of his children equally. So if he were to award devotional service to one child and not another child, it would mean that he was partial, which would be a fault. So that cannot be the explanation. Then he says, another explanation could be the mercy of the devotee. And he says, but again, someone could raise the question that if a devotee awards bhakti to some and not others, then he is also guilty of partiality. But actually, the preacher does make distinctions, and for him or her to make distinctions is not a fault. The 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says, prema maitri krit upeksha sakaroti samadhyama, that the Madhyama Bhakta, he distinguishes between the Supreme Lord, the devotees, the innocent, and the envious. And he gives his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He makes friendship with the devotees. Kripa, he shows mercy to the innocent, and he avoids the envious. So he does make distinctions by definition. He does make distinctions. And even the Uttama Bhakta, when he preaches, to some extent he also accepts the vision of the Madhyama Bhakta. And then, when the devotee gives mercy, Krishna follows with his mercy. Now, this is also a very important point, because what this means is that Krishna is partial to his devotees. In other words, if a devotee prays to Krishna to give mercy to some soul, Krishna will fulfill the desire of the devotee. That means that he is partial to his devotee. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is not a fault in Krishna. Dushanam, it is not a Dushanam, but it is a Bhushanam. It is an ornament. And all of the authorities agree that among all of Krishna's qualities, his quality of being bhakta vatsala, being particularly affectionate towards his devotees, is his greatest quality. quality. So Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. First the Guru gives mercy and then Krishna gives mercy. And thus the candidate engages in devotional service. And in discussing that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Lata Beach, Srila Prabhupada explains that the Bhakti Lata Beach is actually the idea or the method by which one performs devotional service. Every activity has a method. As Srila Prabhupada said, to play a musical instrument, there's a method. To cook a puri, there's a method. For everything, there's a method. And there's also a method to realize God, one's eternal relationship with God. And that method is included within the idea of Bhakti Lata Beach. And that method is followed by the acharyas and prescribed by the acharyas. Acharya means one who teaches by example. So the acharyas, and in our case we think specifically of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada followed the method of devotional service that he received through parampara, sadhu shastra guru bhakya. And by accepting that method of accepting the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, he was able to cross the fierce ocean of Nashas. But he has kindly left behind the same method so that we can also cross. And this is our solace in his separation. That by following his instructions, we can have his association. In his dedication to his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote, you know, dedicated to my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So we live with Srila Prabhupada by following his instructions. And by adopting the method that he has given us with reference to scripture, we can also cross the fierce ocean of nations and reach the other side where he is. Now, what is that method? Srila Prabhupada mentions specifically following the four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxicants, no meat eating, and no gambling. And chanting 16 rounds daily. And he says, these are bona fide instructions. And because these instructions have come to us through the Acharya Sampradaya, through Srila Prabhupada, they are bona fide. And Krishna will accept that method. Now, there are people who have said that one must chant 64 rounds daily in order to be accepted by Krishna. And there's some truth to that idea. It is described that one day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he would always receive invitations to go to people's homes to honor prasad. So one day he told his assistant that I will take prasad only at the home of a lakpati. A lakpati generally means someone who has 100,000 rupees, which in those days was a lot. I mean, even when I went to India, it was a lot. Now, so that was a very surprising statement from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his assistant asked him, "What do you mean?" He said, "I will only accept prasad from someone who chants 100,000 names daily." So that's where that idea of 100,000 names come from. And by that, by a, you know, a strict interpretation, one could say that if, you know, unless one chants 100,000 names, that's 64 rounds daily, Lord Chaitanya will not accept him. But that is not the case. There was truth to it at that time, under those circumstances. But time and circumstances change. And the acharyas are empowered to make adjustments according to time, place, and circumstance. And that was done by every acharya, beginning from Veda Vyas. Veda Vyas, he took the one Veda and divided it into four. He made adjustments to make it easier for people to understand the principles and practices of devotional service. They keep the basic principles, but they can make adjustments in the details. Shruti Kirti Prabhu told me that once some of Srila Prabhupada's god brothers came to meet him. And, you know, they had certain ideas. I'm not sure exactly what the issue was. It might have been accepting men and women in the temples and ashrams, or whatever the issue was. And, of course, Srila Prabhupada was able to defend what he did on the basis of scripture. And after they left, Shruti Kirti Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada that, we know that you have preserved the basic principles that have come to us through scripture and parampara, and made adjustments only in the details. But how do we distinguish what is a principle and what is a detail? And Srila Prabhupada paused and said, That requires some intelligence. It's not so easy. It's not so easy. And it's not for us to do. It's for the empowered acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, to do. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, it was like a little confusing, because sometimes we've heard that in the Gaudiya Math, his followers were given initiation if you chanted only 4 rounds. And then sometimes we heard that you have to chant 64 rounds. And we were trying to understand what was his actual policy. And then we found out that actually he had 3 standards. That if you didn't have much service, you should chant 64 rounds. Or chanting 64 rounds was your service, your main service. If you had a moderate amount of service, you should chant minimum 16 rounds. And if you had too much service, then you should chant at least 4 rounds. Now, obviously, Srila Prabhupada could not introduce that standard in ISKCON because, you know, the mind is such that we would all think we have too much service, so we'll just chant 4 rounds. And that would be too little. And 64 was too much, so he took 16, which was also part of his Guru Maharaj's standard. And that was what Srila Prabhupada chanted as a grihastha. Grihasthas do have service or responsibilities and duties. So he would chant 16 rounds. But strictly, although the method Srila Prabhupada gave us is quite simple and straightforward, but one must follow strictly. And Srila Prabhupada said that he wouldn't have breakfast without chanting at least 4 rounds. Of course, ideally, we would chant as many as we can before breakfast, but in his circumstances, he said he wouldn't have breakfast until he chanted at least 4 rounds. He wouldn't have lunch unless he chanted another 4 rounds. He wouldn't have dinner unless he chanted another 4 rounds. And he wouldn't go to sleep unless he chanted the full 16. And he said that way he was always sure to complete his 16 rounds. But he was determined, you know, he followed strictly. And that's one word that comes up in the purport, strictly and serious. So it's a very critical factor how serious we are. What is our actual desire? I mean, someone could chant 64 rounds a day and have a very materialistic mentality. It is possible. And someone can follow this method that Srila Prabhupada gave us. But if one is very serious about going back to Godhead, his service will be accepted by Krishna, and he will be accepted by Krishna. So this is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And as Srila Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, one should serve the lotus feet of the acharya and live in the association of devotees. because without the association of devotees, it will be almost impossible for us to even do the basic activities of chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles. I heard that once one disciple who had left the association of devotees came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said to him, "You're not chanting your 16 rounds." The devotee said, "How did you know?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Because you're living outside the association of devotees." So we need each other. And that is part of Srila Prabhupada's magnanimous gift to us, that he gave us not only the method, the books which contain the method, but he also gave us the association of devotees that make it possible to actually follow the prescriptions. And when I first joined, I heard something that struck me as somewhat incongruous, that if the spiritual master accepts someone, Krishna has to accept the person, even if otherwise he would not have wanted to. So when I heard this, I thought that the guru, you know, whatever the guru does is impelled by Krishna. How could the guru accept someone that Krishna wouldn't? I mean, doesn't the guru just do what Krishna wants? But as our understanding has matured, we've come to realize that Krishna is an individual and the devotee is also an individual. As in Srila Prabhupada's final days when he said, you know, Krishna has given me the choice. So Krishna does give that, you could say, power of attorney to the devotee to accept someone or not accept someone. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if a representative of a company enters into a business agreement with some party, even if the proprietor of the company doesn't like the agreement, but he has to honor it because his representative signed on behalf of the company. So the devotee, the spiritual master, the guru, has been given that authority by Krishna. And they're given that authority because they follow strictly. And again, they preserve the basic details, but may adjust the basic principles, but may adjust the details. Just the other day, I heard Srila Prabhupada commenting on the verse from Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Brashta, that one who engages in devotional service, or yoga, but it falls down, he takes birth, Sutinam Shimatam Gehe, Yoga Brashta Pijayate, takes birth in a family of Brahmins or rich merchant. And when Srila Prabhupada was describing that fallen yogi, he used the phrase who falls down from following the instructions of the spiritual master. And it struck me that if you just continue to follow the instructions of the spiritual master to the end, then you don't take birth again. It's that simple. You just have to follow strictly these basic instructions to the end and go back home, back to Godhead. And in the meantime, again, we heard in Srila Prabhupada's talk on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance state, that ultimately it doesn't matter, jiva va maro va, you may live or you may die. Because while living, you're serving Krishna and your spiritual master and relishing their association through service. And after leaving the body, you'll continue to engage in devotional service. So, for a devotee, pure devotee, actually, there's no difference. Living and dying are the same, because in both cases he's engaged in devotional service. And when we do that, the temple is Vaikuntha. Our goal is to cross the ocean of nations to Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada also said the temple is Vaikuntha, because if we engage in the activities of pure devotional service with that mood, proper mood, then the temple is Vaikuntha. We don't have to go anywhere. We're already in Vaikuntha. So this is Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that he has brought the spiritual world to the material world and given us the chance to live there. So we cannot even really imagine how fortunate we are, or how blessed we are. But by gathering and reading and discussing, we can appreciate it and not take it for granted, which is a very, very unfortunate thing to do. But to really appreciate every iota of what Srila Prabhupada gave us, and use every moment that we have to engage in devotional service. And continue that line. Like he said, you know, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Mahabhava Nyaya is very munificent. And he said the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should also be very munificent. So we should also give this knowledge to others, give them the books, write new books that help people apply the teachings of the scripture according to the circumstances, and that will please Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas and ultimately Krishna. In the Boston temple when I joined, it was part of the morning program to sing a verse from the 10th canto that's very similar to this about crossing the ocean of nations by taking shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. I don't know how it began, but it was very sweet. So every morning, after Mangalarti, we would sing this verse, beautiful verse. Samasrita ye pada palavam palavam mahat padam punya yasho murare pavam budir vatsa padam param padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. And the translation is that for those who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is famous for being the enemy of the Mura demon, Murari, the vast ocean of nations, which is full of danger, shrinks and becomes the size of a puddle contained in the hoof print of a calf. Although there is danger at every step, the devotee crosses right over because his goal is not material enjoyment or imprisonment, liberation. His goal is Vaikuntha. Hare Krishna. So we still have some time, and I thought we could use this time. If any of you have questions or comments, we can discuss for a little longer. Yes.
You said that we should write new books to help people understand Krishna consciousness a bit more. Who would actually be authorized to write new books?
Well, that's a very good question. The basic principle of speaking about Krishna or writing about Krishna, writing is in a way similar to speaking, is to repeat what one has heard, not to invent or concoct or speculate something new or different. But if we just repeat parrot-like, then why even write? Well, of course there is a reason, because it's purifying. But in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada gives the definition of realization. That one should present the matter in a way that is interesting to the audience. That one should strictly follow the basic principles that he has received from the previous acharyas. One should not ever, for a moment, consider that one can surpass the previous acharyas. But in the course of presenting what one has learned from the previous acharyas and realized, one can present it in an interesting manner that is just suitable for one's particular audience. And that's an important principle, to speak or write according to one's realization. Then it has potency. If your realization is that you like taking prasad, that's my realization. And if you repeat that, it will have effect. But if, you know, more or less you're down here and then you're speaking some words that are way up here, won't have that much effect. So whatever your realization is, that, you know, I tend to be in a lot of anxiety, but when I chant Hare Krishna, my anxiety is dissipated. Whatever your realization is, if you repeat that, that will have effect. Oh, yes, sir.
Thanks, Ananda. Yesterday, His Grace Dhanacharya Prabhu was talking about Prabhupada's endearments. You know, and he would always be leading his disciples forward, you know, in his quest towards establishing Krishna consciousness in the Western world. For the benefit of the audience, I'm wondering if you can share some more enlightenment that you may have personally that that expound on this quality of Prabhupada.
The quality that
he always is endearing, you know, he's always bold.
The truth seem like they could be different, being bold and being endearing. Do you remember what you said? What he's referring to? Well, you give an example and then I'll get more ideas.
I think one time Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Delhi, and there was this huge, massive building, you know, and, you know, Prabhupada said that there was a scaffolding straight up the top of the building. Prabhupada said, I climbed that scaffolding, you know, as a boy, you know. Do you remember that?
No, but, well, I mean, Srila Prabhupada was certainly endearing. I mean, everything he did was endearing. If I think of one personal instance, it was, I guess I had the tendency to push myself. This is sort of in the early days in Juhu. So every day I would go to the city, you know, pretty early in the morning after breakfast, and then I would push myself all day, and I wouldn't eat anything, and then maybe on the way back at Churchgate Station, I would get one of those little cones they would make. They take a piece of newspaper and roll it into a cone, and then they put some chickpeas in it or something and sell it for some paisa. So I might get that, and that would be my prasad. So one evening I came back and I went to Srila Prabhupada's room. He would often want me to see him when I came back from the city and give him a report. And he asked, "How are you feeling?" And, you know, the usual tendency is just to smile and say, "Fine." But somehow, the way Prabhupada asked it and was looking at me, I couldn't just do that. And when I actually considered it, I realized I wasn't really feeling that good, but I wasn't even conscious of it until Srila Prabhupada asked. And then he said, you have to eat properly. And he had some grapes in his kitchen. So he had his servant bring out the grapes. And he said, "You should eat these grapes. They're very good for energy." So that's, and he also said, to work very hard for 2 days, and then to have to recuperate for 3 days, that is not a very good policy. So, yeah, he did take care of us. He did take care of devotees. But he was compassionate to everyone. Once I was riding in the car with him in Madras, and it was warm, very warm, and there was a bus stand, but the shelter provided by the bus stand was not large enough to accommodate all the people. There's like a huge queue of people waiting for the bus, and most of them were in the hot sun. And Srila Prabhupada, in a choked voice, he just commented on how much the people are suffering. So Paradukaduki felt for the suffering of others, the suffering of humanity. But as he said in his lecture, there are different ways that one can try to alleviate the suffering. But the real solution is Krishna consciousness. So it's not that he said, you know, we should write to the city transportation department that they have to provide bigger shelters at the bus stations. But he felt for the people in their ordinary sufferings. But he knew that the real solution, the permanent solution, was Krishna consciousness. Another one that strikes me, of course, this could go on, but it was when originally our deities in Bombay, we just called them Radha Krishna, and Prabhupada was giving names to different deities in different places. And I thought, well, we should also have a name for our deities. So I went to Srila Prabhupada and I asked him, you know, can you name our deities? So he said, Radha Madan Mohan. I said, well, Srila Prabhupada, there's already a Radha Madan Mohan. I said, okay. Radha Govinda. I said, well, Srila Prabhupada has already a Radha Govinda. So then, which I'm sure he knew, I mean, I can't even believe some of the things I said back then, probably even now. But I said, Srila Prabhupada, there's already a Radha Govinda. He said, Radha Rasa Bihari. Is that all right? I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Dr. Vrinda, ki jai.